Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week.
Save big.
Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Now, for those of you that are familiar with the show, you know that we are located in Louisville, Kentucky, and this week is Kentucky Derby Week here. Which may not mean a lot to some of you, but to those that live in this general area and that grew up in and around the atmosphere of the Kentucky Derby, you will know exactly what that means. So we have a little bit of a different show tonight because Tuna has taken this opportunity to when everybody else is taking off from work, he has decided to take on some extra responsibilities this week. So we have no Tuna in studio tonight. And Freddie, as the de facto mayor of Derby Town, does not have a lot of free time this particular week. So he is going to be nice enough to join us via the telephone here in a little bit, and we're really just going to concentrate and focus this week on the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, we will have a lot to get to next week. We want to recap the NFL draft, which I want to give a shout out to Tuna because he pretty much called exactly how that draft was going to go. And his storylines to follow were pretty much spot on. So can't wait till next week when we have the opportunity to get everybody back down here in the studio. And we can talk about the NFL draft. I want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about the Indiana Pacers. They just... as we're recording right now, within the hour, just completed their first round series win against Milwaukee, winning that series 4-1. three of the four games that Indiana won were I won't say easy, but they were the Pacers pretty much led from start to finish in those games. And then the game that Milwaukee won was tight up until the third quarter. Well, tonight was a completely different type of game. Milwaukee came out desperate and did what desperate teams do. They played with reckless abandon and jumped out to a 20-point lead in the first half. Indiana was able to cut it to 6 at halftime, and then going into the fourth quarter, the game was tied, and it went back and forth throughout the fourth quarter. Giannis had an opportunity at the buzzer to win it. Indiana played a really good defensive possession for the last 10 seconds of regulation, forced overtime. Then in overtime, Gary Trent Jr., as he did in the game that Milwaukee won, went completely unconscious from behind the three-point line, to the extent that Quinn Buckner was beside himself a couple of times. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a quick pause there. Freddie is calling in, and we will get right back to you. So as I mentioned, that was Freddie calling in. He's going to call back here in just a little bit to give us all the ins and outs of the Kentucky Derby this weekend. But as I was saying about the Pacers game, the Pacers force overtime, and Gary Trent Jr. Goes crazy. Quinn Buckner can't believe that they're not guarding the three-point line better. Which, as a side note, of course, I'm a Pacers homer, but I love Chris Denari and Quinn Buckner calling those games. And I'm thankful that I'm able to have the opportunity to listen and watch the Indiana broadcast of those games. But with 40 seconds to go, the Pacers found themselves down 7 points. There's a ESPN alert. And at that point, I had actually texted Colin and said, well, I guess I have something to watch Friday night, because in my eyes, the game was over. I should have known better, because the Pacers have had the ability all season long, and really the last 2 years, to win some games in improbable fashion that they probably shouldn't have won. And sure enough, they come up with a couple of defensive stops. Tyrese Halliburton, I mean, he had a three-point play. Nembhard hit a big three-pointer. And as much as I enjoy the Pacers winning, and by proxy, I guess, enjoy the Bucks losing, I did feel for Gary Trent Jr., because he was the reason, I mean, amongst other things, but his incredible shooting was a real reason that they were in a position to win that game. And with 10 seconds to go, you think the Pacers are going to foul down one, and they throw the ball to him. There's nobody really within 15 feet of him, and the ball goes right through his legs. Out of bounds. Neither team has a timeout, so the Pacers, it just happened so quick. The Pacers get the ball. Halliburton gets it in the backcourt. Goes one-on-one against Giannis and crossed him up, and the help was late. You could see that the help under the basket was, and pardon me for not remembering exactly who it was, but whoever it was probably was supposed to slide over, but he was worried about giving up a three in the corner, so he hesitated, and that was all that Halliburton needed to hit a layup with about a second to go, and without a timeout, the Bucks threw up a desperation heave, and the Pacers move on in a really wildly entertaining and super intense for a series that ended 4-1. It was extremely intense, and after the game, there were some post-game shenanigans out there with players getting into it, jawing. But, I mean, that's to be expected. But I also really enjoyed that from the standpoint that kind of reminded me of old-school NBA. There wasn't a lot of lovey-dovey stuff after the game, and these two teams don't like each other. But I'm just super pleased for Indiana. They move on to play the Cavaliers in what I think is going to be a really good series. And at the moment, looks like Orlando is beating Boston, but it's relatively early in the game. We've got the Knicks and the Pistons in a possible elimination game coming down to the wire. And I will talk more about that when I come back. When I come back, I will have the fabulous one on the line, and we will get into all things Kentucky Derby. So stay tuned for that. We will be right back. All right, we've jumped into our blockout time machine and moved ahead about, 12 hours since I recorded the first part of this last night. But as promised, we have the blockout sports horse racing and specifically Derby guru on the phone right now with me. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. And Freddie, first of all, let me know, tell me how your Derby week has been going so far.
Well, happy Derby to everyone. Happy great steamboat race day today to everyone during the Derby Festival week. In case you didn't know, the Belle of Louisville sprung a leak. She is not on the water. She is not racing today. We have a substitute John boat out there maybe running. I don't know what the hell's going on. The Ohio has to be 30 feet up high, so it's going to be a muddy run. And I'm not sure who's going to win, but I got to skip it this year and the chow wagon on a beautiful day today because we are getting ready for a huge Derby party, block party in our neighborhood. So I'm going to, you and I are preparing for that later on as we watch the NBA playoffs.
Right. Yeah. And looking forward to that this weekend. It'll be a little bit different. The last, right. You know, you're usually there. I'm typically, the last several years have been there. So this year we're doing it a little bit different.
We are.
Freddie's neighborhood is a befitting of Freddie's social status, is a very sociable place. And they've...
It's basically Bourbon Street South.
Right. So we've got a lot of... we've got a lot of... local establishments within, a half a block, one literally across the street, a couple of different garage bars going to be open, going to have big speakers with music. We're going to try to sync the race up on there. It should be a lot of fun. And like I said, doing things a little bit different. Tomorrow, Fred and I, along with a big group of people, will be at the track for what they call Thurby, which is obviously the Thursday before Derby with a good card of racing, and that seems to get bigger and bigger every year. Now, Fred and I did our...
I wanted to tell you my Derby week. How's your Derby week going?
Well, I was just about to say, yesterday, Fred and I did our typical backside trip with a trip to Wagner's after... now, Fred goes pretty much every day during the week prior to the Derby because he is a certified Derby psycho.
That would be morning, 5:30 a.m. backside.
Yes. I enjoy going once during the week, and that's plenty for me. And we got to do that yesterday. It was really cool. We got to see a majority of the Derby horses and several Oaks horses out working on the track. With all that being said, and I have some thoughts as well that I'll interject, but you have been out there several days talking with different people, kind of getting the feel for what people are thinking on the backside. So everybody wants to know, as you were very successful in giving us picks for the Derby preps, so we would like to know, I'm sure a lot of people would like to know, your thoughts about Derby, and give us a field rundown and what you've seen and heard on the backside this week.
Well, as we say that, I'm making one of my bets on one of our trainers, Paul McGee. Good luck today. I'm on my TVG account. But we have been on the backside, as you said, been to the world-famous Wagner's Pharmacy to have breakfast every day. Too much chicken fried steak and biscuits and gravy for me for the third day in a row. I am trying to diet here. It's not easy. I had four people rolling with me today to go to the backside and check it out. If this doesn't get the hair on your neck and back standing up and get you into Derby mode in the mornings watching the horses work out, nothing will. I think that it's easy, safe to say that the strongest thing we've seen on the backside this week thus far, and I won't be back the rest of the week in the morning, so is easily the favorite Journalism.
Yes.
My now number one. Journalism is I don't know how else you can say it. He's huge, tall, he's big, he's on his tippy toes, he's larger than all the other horses, he looks more mature, he handles the crowd better, he's more muscular. I don't know what else to say, and I've seen other favorites like this before. Justified to name a few, but man, Journalism is the buzz horse on the backside, unless Beza gets in. Beaza, or however you pronounce it. But Journalism is looking fantastic. Rodriguez is a much bigger horse than I thought, that looks really good. And probably the third best-looking horse I've seen could be maybe a tie between Grande and American Promise, which is the chestnut, beautiful chestnut of Dwayne Lucas's, that is one of a long shot and is no longer. What do you think, Travis?
Well, I made it clear to you yesterday that I haven't felt this strongly about a Derby favorite slash of just a horse in general in many years, from just strictly from going out and watching them work and seeing them after their works. And Journalism to me, just on appearances, I will 1,000% back up everything you said. He just has kind of a presence about him that you don't see all the time. And yesterday morning when we were back there after his work and he was getting washed down and the grooms were taking care of him and stuff, I mean, clearly had a throng of media, you know, it was cameras everywhere. There was five times as many people around him as around any other horse during their cool down. And it seemed to me like he was loving every second of it. I actually got a really cool picture of him where it looks like he's got a big goofy smile on his face. And I think that just his – now, that is not to say that in a 20-horse field that weird things can and often do happen in the Derby. But if he gets a good trip, I would be willing to wager, and I will be wagering on journalism. He will certainly be in almost every bet that I make.
Yeah, and let's just say, has it ever happened? Yes, it has. Maximum Security looked fantastic on the track, and he was disqualified.
Yeah, right.
In a Derby where it wasn't supposed to rain, and it did rain.
Sure.
And that may happen this time. They're thinking that the weather may change a little bit. I don't know many mutters in this race. There has, believe it or not, there has not been, through my looking, many horses that have had to run in the slop or anything in this race that are listed on the board. I'm sure there's a couple I need to look into that, but I do know that Cole Battle, if anyone has been as one of the mud twice, has. But yeah, Rodriguez has moved up my board. Right now, I'm looking at, and then I'm going to get into every horse quickly with a little something to say. But right now, my board, I'll tell you what my board was. It was Sovereignty, Journalism, Cole Battle, Tiztastic, Burnham Square, Sandman, Citizen Bull, Lexor Cafe, and Rodriguez into the top 10. Now, it ain't subject to change. That's why I have the book. And now I have Journalism, Rodriguez, Beza, who isn't in yet. Sovereignty and Burnham Square are right there at my three or four hole. Tiztastic is the one you don't know what to do with. Sandman, Cole Battle has went down a little bit for me. And Grande. Anyways, that and guys, remember, I am not a crazy handicapper looking at the program, it works and everything. I'm more of a person that combines everything. I do a lot of research on people that do research. And I take bits and pieces of all of that, what I've seen, all my Derby prep information from since October on who's won what races against what competition. I start looking at a great person that I respect who is he's on the website that's a Thoroughgraph, who has great input and different than what other people have. I put all that together and I start making my list of horses by all of the above. So someone may think other reasons for different horses, but this has worked for me. I've won with Authentic. I've won with Mage. I've won with a couple lately since I've started doing this book that I carry around with me that everybody asks to see on the backside. So why don't we start going through these horses, and we'll start from post one and just roll on down on what my opinion is. And if you have any input, let me know.
Yep, please.
Okay, so we're starting with the one hole, which is obviously the bad hole to be in. Dornick was in there last year, a horse that went on to dominate and win horse of the year. He was in the one hole. Everybody threw him out. He ran a great Derby and still finished, I think, maybe fifth. I'm not sure, but he was up in the top, maybe seventh, something like that. He was up there. He ran a good race. But again, he was in the one hole. Citizen Bull's in the one hole. I don't think his training has been the same as a normal Baffert horse leading up to Derby week. I think he had some setbacks in the Santa Anita. Didn't run well. They've tried blinkers on him now. They've been trying different tactics, and then he gets the one hole. Guess what? Out.
Right.
And folks, here's what you got to do when you're handicapping. You've got to find ways to get rid of horses.
Right.
Okay, I've got 15 horses on here that I want to bet on. I'm finding ways to get rid of them. Anything that, and then I got to stick with my guns. If Citizen Bull wins, he was horse the best horse all year long at the beginning, then so be it. But right now, he's smaller than I thought. Not that that matters, but he is... I'm going to have to take him off, and I will not be betting Citizen Bull. Maybe down the line, Preakness or something like that, I'll look back into it. But right now, Bob Baffert today was at the track, bringing his horses onto the track. Travis, who do you think he was holding the reins on?
I don't know. It wasn't Citizen Bull.
No, it was Rodriguez.
Aha.
Bob Baffert is a guy that tells the public everything with what he does.
Right.
And that was a tall telling sign that his horse is Rodriguez.
Yep, there you go.
Okay. So, all right, Neil Quos is going to be a front runner. Also, what I want to say about Citizen Bull is he is going to be up in the top. These are front runners that will be all getting out of the gate. Citizen Bull, Neil Quos is another one that will be up front fighting to get out fast. Safi Joseph, not a huge fan of him as a trainer. I don't think Neil Quos has a shot. He will maybe lead the Derby for a while, but I don't see him finishing out. Don't think that he has the distance to do it. In the three hole, Brad Cox's only horse after Tapon Street scratched, and he's had a lot of great ones in the past, but his barn's awful quiet right now, even though he's a great trainer. Final Gambit is a somewhat of a buzz horse on people's list. He's never ran on dirt. He is he's one of these green horses coming up. It's getting better and better. He's a wild card. If you haven't ran on dirt yet and you're running on it this time and he kind of likes it, you never know what can happen. He is a closer. He is a deep closer. There are only three deep closers. He's one of them. So be ready for that. If you want to throw him in your exotics, I have Final Gambit because of not knowing how he's going to take to it. And a great trainer, you got to put him in as one of your long shots. Okay. The four hole, and he's not rushing to get out of the gate. He's just going to hang wherever he doesn't have to worry about it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Rodriguez. A horse that's going to still be decent value, I think. The best Bob Baffert horse. He is training well. In my opinion, Rodriguez is the most improving horse in the field.
And he looked good yesterday when we saw him.
He looks really good on the track. Big black horse. He is improving. He hadn't, you know, if you notice, he was over in California running, and he couldn't beat journalism and even Citizen Bull or Barnes. There were other horses in his own camp that were beating him. Okay. And I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is the trainer of journalism, but he's out in California too. So what does Bob do? Well, his horse is improving. He likes it. Can he beat journalism? Maybe not, but guess what? You got to beat him you got to get him in the Derby first to get the points. So what does he do? He ships him over to the Wood Memorial, which was a decent field, not a great prep race normally, and he dominates. Okay, he wins the race wire to wire. So that horse is improving big time. And you've got to have a front runner in your grouping when you're betting, because think about it. Oh, by the way, who's he out of? Authentic. What did Authentic do? He kind of sat back there. He wasn't Bob's number one horse, and he led the Derby wire to wire.
Right.
This is what Rodriguez reminds me of. He's not as big, but he kind of looks like Authentic. And, buddy, he is easily my number two horse right now. Money Mike Smith's on him. That doesn't hurt. And he will be shooting out of that gate. He will be up by the front. Okay, so I'm definitely on Rodriguez and Final Gambit, the three and the four. The five, I am on him. American Promise. That he will also be up front. He is a huge chestnut, big ass man. He has bet down Travis. I mean, I'm not mistaken. He was like 30-1 on my barn list sheet. He is now 9-1.
Wow.
That is D-Wayne Lucas' horse. D-Wayne Lucas has changed his style lately, last couple of years for the Derby. He is basically these horses. This horse has ran 8 or 9 times. He's been around. He ran his best race so far in the last one. Has he beaten by Render Judgment and other horses like that? Yes. But he has is really coming on right now. He's leaving the Virginia Derby and he had a great number. He had a really good speed number on that race. And we are going to put him in. His Briss number in that race was 105. So you have a buyer, you have a Briss net and a buyer figure that should be the highest the figure, the better. And then you add your speed figure in there, your TFS speed figure, and American Promise makes one of those with a 105. So people are betting him. He's one of my long shots. And guess what? He's no longer a long shot. So in the 5-0, American Promise is another horse that is a front runner that will be up in the front. Remember, all this craziness on the 1-3-7 is getting nuts because all these horses like the front. Admire Daytona, a Japan horse, number 6. He is also a front runner, believe it or not. He will be up there. Admire Daytona, sorry, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him. He is a decent horse. He could get in the super. He could be up there, but I'm throwing him out, okay?
Okay.
Still with me?
Gotcha.
Okay, let's go to his buddy right next to him in the gate, Lexor Cafe. Everybody's loving this horse. He's had great wins and pretty much done everything right except ran around the track the wrong way. Okay? So now he's running around the track a different way. Forever Young proved that you can do that. This horse,
right.
By the way, American Promise is out of American Promise. I wanted to say one more thing about him. He is out of Justify.
Mm.
Okay, folks? This is Justify's son. So keep that in mind as well. Lexor Cafe is American Pharaoh's son. Okay? He is no horse that just came up out of the blue in Japan. He is bred in Kentucky. And he is a horse that can make some noise like Forever Young did last year.
Right.
He has a rookie trainer, rookie jockey. Until a Japan horse wins, I'm finding a way to get rid of him. So I'm taking him out, even though I respect the hell out of this horse. Okay? I respect him, but I'm not betting him. So if he wins, kudos to Japan. They finally got theirs. But I'm not seeing it this time. I don't think that he is a horse that can run inside. He hasn't run inside a lot. And he hasn't had dirt in his face a lot. So we'll see what happens. Rodriguez hasn't had dirt in his face very much either because he hasn't ran against big fields. But in the wood, he could have had dirt in his face, but he led the whole way.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Let's go on to 8 Journalism. We've already talked to him, Michael McCarthy, doing everything right. Another horse that is improving. He hasn't ran that much. If I could have any one thing on Journalism that worries me, And he is a mid-closer, folks. Jerlems is a stalker. That's the place I like my horses to be. But if there's one knock on Jerlems, I can say is he hasn't ran against a lot of fields. He hasn't had to get a 10-hole in a gate and come from way outside. But guess what? He drew the 8. So if you want to add something else to him that works in his favor, he's got one of the best posts you can get.
Right.
Speaking of the best post, 4 best posts in Derby history is number 7, number 5, number 8, and number 18. That's Luxor Cafe, American Promise, Journalism, and Sovereignty. The worst post you can get is 1, 17, 2, and 14. That is Citizen Bull, Sandman, who no one's ever won from the 17 slot. Neoclos and Tiztastic. So keep that in mind if you want to write that down. Luxor Cafe, so Journalism, he just hasn't had dirt in his face. He hasn't ran against a whole lot of horses. I mean, hell, the 3 races he won, there were only 5 horses entered. They didn't even get all the Derby points because you only get half if you only have 5 horses.
Right,
so
right.
Let's see what the big boy can do against the big boys. All right, and I'm betting that in the 8 hole that he's going to do it. If he was in the 19 or something, I might not be as high on him. But everything is going his way right now.
Right.
Number 9, shooting up my board, the closer, the mid-closer. A mid-closer is someone that is not waiting way back in the back. If you're way back in the back on Derby Day, something crazy has to happen for you to shoot up to the front, okay? Like a crazy front-running speed of some rabbit that just takes off, kind of like Cornucopian and Speed King did in one of the preps that pretty much ran Cold Battle out and helped Sandman win. Who is also a deep closer. Burnham Square has done everything right. Another horse that is improving. My improving horses so far, Rodriguez, American Promise, Journalism to a T, and Burnham Square is always in the right place at the right time. He's always passing horses after the race. He's passing horses before during the race. You always want to pay attention to a horse that in these preps that is still running after the race is over and passing horses.
Right.
It's just a good tell sign that they not only like the distance, but they're ridden out. And I just like everything about Burnham Square. I think he's improving, and I think he will be is a good pick to put in your super top 4 horses. Can he win? Yes. So make sure that you throw him in there. Okay, I got him, and he is my number 5. Number 10, another horse that I have as my number 9 that I think can win this race is Grande. I never said American Promise can win the race. I said American Promise can be in your exotics. Okay, so Rodriguez, Journalism, Burnham Square, Grande, the 10 horse, can win this race. Okay, this is a Todd Pletcher horse. Johnny V is riding him. That's a great thing. He's in a good slot in the 10 slot. He is another green horse that has not ran a lot. He came off a great second place. And at low odds, everybody already liked him to Journalism in the Santa Anita, which is a prep that even though there weren't a lot of horses, a lot of people are respecting. The surface over there is somewhat closer to Churchill's than like the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct and places like that. Hold on, I'm taking a drink. I'm drinking ice water, Travis.
Well, we are recording this at an unusual early hour for us, and we have a lot to do the rest of the day. So we'll have a cocktail or two together later.
Right. Oh, for sure. So, Burnham Square, closer, mid-closer, journalism. And I think that he will not freak out. He will take his time, and he could be flying at the end. Grande is a different kind of horse. Grande is a stalker. So he's going to be up there kind of like journalism is a stalker, but also a mid-closer kind of horse. But I would, if I had to list them, I would list journalism and Grande together as a stalker type horse with Lexor Cafe, Coal Battle, and Citizen Bull. They are, Citizen Bull's kind of in the middle of an upfront runner, but most of Baffert's horses always are upfront. He wants them taken off from the get-go. He does not, I don't think he's ever had a closer since back in the day. He's changed his whole strategy. Grande, keep an eye on him. He's just a green horse that could be improving. So he is another one that definitely is improving. Keep an eye on the 10-hole Grande. Number 11, Flying Mohawk. Love the name, hate the game. Sorry, Flying Mohawk. I do think that he is a mid-closer. He was second to Final Gambit. He has not ran on dirt yet. Another wild card. But I got to get rid of somebody, okay? I think he's owned by one of the baseball players out there that's been into horse racing a little bit.
Jason Worth.
Who's that?
Jason Worth.
And another trader that's up and coming, Whit Beckman. I mean, he's been around, but Whit Beckman is up and coming to the Derby and Oaks. He's starting to get more horses involved. So good luck to him. Flying Mohawk, if you want to use that horse, use him in your exotics. He might be flying at the end, depending upon if he likes the surface or not. Okay, two X factors, Final Gambit, Flying Mohawk, that are green, coming on strong at the end of the year, and never raced on dirt. Okay, number 12, East Avenue. Brendan Walsh, great trainer. Manny Franco on him. Travis, one thing, I mentioned that as a jockey. I don't pay attention to any jockeys. I never make any of my bets based on a jockey. Okay, it's either good or bad. If you have someone that's doing better, considered the best in the world, Giroux's probably considered the best. Now, there's so many great ones.
Right.
Saez. I mean, everybody's good. But East Avenue is a strange horse. East Avenue is not green. He's raced. He hasn't raced a whole lot, but he was the stud horse before Citizen Bull was. He is the pace setter. He will be flying out of there and trying to be in the lead and go wire to wire. He, in my opinion, if he can get out, he is going to cut straight to the thing. And as I said about Neoquos or Admire Daytona, I will tell you that East Avenue could be leading this Derby at the beginning. Okay, he is going to fly out. And what's crazy about Imtra is he was in the Breeders' Cup, or the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but the Gold Cup at the Kentucky Jockey Club, he was the favorite. He was like bet 8-5.
Wow.
He was the main horse, the stud horse, before even Citizen Bull. And he ran like 12th.
Hmm.
And then he ran another race, and he ran 11th or 10th. And no one, I don't know if he was hurt or what. Then he took a long layoff, came back in, and then he runs this last race in order to get in, runs it. I don't think he won it. He got second, but he led wire to wire and damn near won it. I think Burnham Square got him in the Bluegrass.
Okay,
so Burnham Square come, but East Avenue is a $1.75 million yearling, great horse. Could he lead the Derby and run wire to wire? It's possible. It's possible, but I got to throw him out based on what he's done and so many horses and where he's at the 12 hole. I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. He's going to be up front. He's going to go as far as he can go. You know what can happen to him? He can go as far as he can go and still make the super. Put it
right,
that way.
Right.
And the, where he may take off so far and the closers have to catch him, and that takes some of the other guys out, the ones we've been talking about that we're so high on, like Rodriguez and some of that. And then that's where Sandman and to Sovereignty and Publisher and Gambit come into play.
Right.
Because and he could get like fourth hanging on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So look out. It's possible. This horse is not some pig out there. He is, it's very strange, but I'm going to say he's improving. like American Promise is improving and he's ran eight races.
Right.
So it is possible. Then you got Publisher. A lot of people are liking Publisher. He's a little guy. He's a deep closer. I am going to throw him out of there. Just don't have much on Publisher. I'm not saying he's a bad horse. He's kind of green coming up. He has never won a race. Travis.
Well, I mean, that tells me.
Burnout Square is a he's missing his family jewels, if you will.
Oh yes, a gelding.
Yeah, he's the only gelding in the Derby, and Publisher is the has not. It took American Promise eight times to get his win. Well. Publisher hasn't got it yet, but he's ran good enough to make Derby points and get
right,
it.
Right.
And he is a deep closer. So if something crazy happens in the Derby, he can get in there. I'm just not betting him.
Right.
Okay. All these horses should be respected.
Sure.
Except for Render Judgment. No, I'm kidding. next horse, the 14. Isn't it funny? The Asmussen horses, and Steve Asmussen is the trainer of Publisher and Distastic. He has not won the Derby yet. He is due. He's done everything but win the Derby. So he's going to get his soon. And it could be from his second one, not his first one. You never know that's entered. Tistastic, number 14, the number one easily numero uno wild card. I do not know still what to do with this horse. However, I have him in my top five, and he has been. He has a second and a third at Churchill. He's won twice on the turf. He ran a clunker in the Rebel, which was fifth. Not bad. He's won the Louisiana Derby. He's won 1 and 2 in six races, so he's always in the money. He's not a big horse from what I saw today. I don't know. I know that forms that I look at, they have him that he can win this race, just like Grande. Some horses can get the money. He can win this race. Tistastic is, when you win the Louisiana Derby, you can win the Kentucky Derby.
And it, okay? If I'm not mistaken, that is Mrs. Bender's pick for this race. Is that correct?
That's whose?
Mrs. Bender's.
Oh, yes. That is Mrs. Bender. That is Kristen Bender's choice. She goes, it's just a happy-go-lucky name.
There you
and
go.
That's good. Out of Kisbalal, it was a great horse. I think ran second or third in the Derby. But interesting horse. 1-2 on turf. He's kind of done every jack of all trades. He is not listed on my Briss or Buyer numbers. Actually, he does make one at the very end, 100. My buyer list, in case you want to know it while you're here, Journalism has a 103, Rodriguez 101, Bays a 101, Sandman 99, Citizen Bull, and Grande. Best Briss, 108 Journalism, 107 Beza, 105 Rodriguez, 105 American Promise. Then you got Sandman, Burnham Square, Grande, Final Gambit, and Tiztastic on the hundreds. And then the speed figure, Journalism, first. He's a 122. Sandman, Rodriguez, and Beza. So in all those, Journalism, Rodriguez, Beza, and Sandman are in all of them. Okay, something to think about.
Yep.
The fastest horses. That is telling you they are the fastest horses. Tiztastic is going to be a mid-closer. He will be there. Folks, I'm betting him. Tiztastic, I am betting him. He is my number six, number five if Beza doesn't get in. Okay, so keep an eye on Tiztastic. Number 15, Render Judgment. I used to know a guy named Renders. I know a guy named Benders. This is Render Judgment. You know, I'm going to put five on him to win. I have to, Travis, for that very fact.
Right.
Kenny McPeak, great trainer, local trainer. In my opinion, this horse has no shot.
No, as a matter of fact, I would tell our, and this is probably the official black cat of the Derby, but I would tell our listeners that's the easiest horse of all 20 to immediately throw out.
Right.
And for me.
Is in, maybe because the country music singer owns him, who comes to the Derby every year, and I don't know. He could scratch. If there's any horses in here I think that could scratch, it would be Neil Quos, Render Judgment, Citizen Bull, and Owen Almighty.
Yeah, because I would think, as a matter of fact, the scuttlebutt was that Render Judgment, Kenny McPeak, was not planning on running him in the Derby, but the ownership group kind of decided, well, we qualified, we're running him in the Derby. And that is never a, if everybody's not on the same page, moving in the same direction, that is not necessarily a good omen for an event like this.
He can still be in a race like the Pat Day Mile on Derby Day.
Right.
Who is a lot of horses that did not make the cut and win big money.
Yeah.
And still be there Derby Day.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something. If I can give anything positive to Render Judgment, he has ran in a lot of very good Derby preps against great competition. And he has been in third or fourth. I mean, folks, he had to get points to get in. So he has been like around third and fourth in some of these preps. Okay, but he's been sixth and one and seventh and one and eighth and one.
Right. I don't want to confuse the listeners. Let's just tell them to throw this horse out.
Throw the horse out. Okay. On to 16, my sentimental pick. I've met Lonnie Briley, folks. In case you didn't think I would, you knew I would. I've met Lonnie. He's a great guy. Cold Battle is falling down the board. Guess what he is right now? He's my long shot. Who would have thought? A horse that's won five races, folks, that had all of his points already before he ran the Arkansas Derby, is a long shot now.
And
now
we haven't seen him a lot out there, right? We haven't seen him a lot on the track. We haven't seen him much on the track so far this week, right?
He was there on Monday.
Okay.
He was there on Monday. He wasn't there yesterday, and worryingly, he wasn't there today.
Okay.
Although Lonnie was out and about, unless he took him out early morning. I think Lonnie and him and the crew, that group is a little nervous on how he kind of had a little episode like Sandman did on the track in Arkansas. Oh, you know, Sandman almost ran into the stands,
right,
like as he won.
Right.
Cold Battle had his issue in the paddock. And the paddock's up close down there, but it's not anything. Hell, there's more people there today on dirt in the morning on the backside.
Yeah.
Kids and everything. Then there yeah. is an Arkansas Derby. So if he's worried about that, he needs to take it. Instead of hiding from it, you need to get him out there more. So I'm a little worried about this horse right now. That he wasn't out there today doing anything unless he took him in the morning. Because you should have your horse around people. I don't know if you've ever been. If you haven't been to the Kentucky Derby, folks, they walk them up and down the track during my old Kentucky home. It's the greatest thing ever. And there is 400,000 or however many screaming and yelling.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves there. There might be 400,000 at the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, okay.
But it is, and it is a, the thing that makes it so unique, number one, is the sheer amount of people. There will be clearly 140,000, 150,000 people there. But some horses, as they come around the fourth turn into the main stretch, they've had a relative quiet trip really through. Now, one is not as quiet maybe as it used to be because they built that big new stands. But the entire backside of the track, there's no permanent seating to speak of. When they come off turn four and the crowd stands as one and screams, there have been horses that wall of sound, it's something that none of them have ever heard before. And there have been horses before that when they hear that are like, what the hell is that?
Right. Well, Cole Battle, he's still a stud. He's flight of feet. He's got quick feet. He doesn't have long strides. He's kind of a little guy. I bet on a lot of little guys. International Star Cub, Barber Road. I've loved all these horses that can get in and out, that have heart, show. A lot of these horses that just battle till the end and are kind of don't have a system. He is a stalker. He's always in the right place at the right time, and he can get in the right place at the right time. Okay? Some of these horses can't. And he seems to always be in the right place. Did he need, everyone says, oh, he didn't look good in the Arkansas. He got one. No, folks, he didn't need the points in the Arkansas Derby. Sandman was coming. He knows he's a closer. He knows he wasn't going to catch him. And there were horses that were all bunched up on the rail, and he was one of them. He still got third.
Right.
I mean, I'm still clueless why people are saying or counting this horse out. Sovereignty did the same thing in his final prep, and they're all like, well, he didn't need the points. Well, why is he getting away with it when Lonnie Briley's little horse, Co-Battle, is not getting an excuse? Because he sure as hell didn't need the points and still ended up getting more points. Hell, I think he has more points than anybody. Maybe not as much as Jersey, but anyways, he's got more wins than anybody, I can tell you that. Cole Battle does.
Right.
And he has ran against great competition and great races, great Derby preps. The only thing I can say about him is he is small, and I'm not sure about the distance. They're saying that distance that Sandman went, he didn't go, but I don't think he needed to. I think he's going to give it all he's got this time, and I will have $50 to win on him. Trust me.
Awesome.
So I'm putting him in, and I'm not giving up, and he is going to be a great value. Wow. He might end up going at 30-1.
Right.
Sandman, next, closer, deep closer. He's in all the numbers. I want to throw him out because he's in the 17-0, never won the Derby. I can't do it because he's in all these numbers, and he is somewhat improving as well. Has he run his best race? Like the next horse we're going to talk about, I'm not sure. He's still a little green, as you said, that he was kind of running all over the place. We will see what happens, but You got to have Sandman in your exotics. I think he's going to be bet down because of his name and all that.
And he has the connection with Metallica. Is that right? With the Sandman name.
Yes.
And apparently the band sent like shirts and stuff to all his connections and whatever. So
right.
I'm sure they'll probably do a story on that on the coverage on Saturday.
Right, but don't forget he has the worst post in Derby history.
Right.
That has a black cat on it, and that is a horse that has never won in the 17-hole. But good luck to Sandman. I'll have him in my exotics. Number 18, Sovereignty. Bill Mott, he's a big horse. He's as big as Rodriguez in journalism, easily.
He was clearly one of the three or four that I noticed that literally stood above the rest of the field when I saw him yesterday.
Right. He has caught a little buzz here on the backside, too. I haven't seen much of him until today. He was out on the track. I remember when I'll have another one. He was on the track every day, Breeze. And just, I'm like, man, this horse is never quits. Well, I think that's a good thing. I think if I don't see you out there a lot, then I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he is a horse that has not been out there as much. But Sovereignty has he peaked yet? I'm not sure. Did he need the points in that race? No. He knew he was getting second. So he was going to be in. So, the best buyer, best Briss. Speed Form TF. I've given you the list of all of them. The top eight. Guess who ain't in it at all? Sovereignty. He is not in any of those. Very surprising to me. Very surprising to me. So he has ran against good horse fields. You know, the horses that have, I like horses that have won at Churchill. You know, he doesn't fit a whole lot of, a Sandman like had a fifth at Churchill. Owen Almighty has won at Churchill. Citizen Bull has won at Churchill. Sovereignty has won at Churchill. That is a positive, guys. And he's a mid-closer. Him and journalism are so much alike. It's just hard to... The only thing I can say about Sovereignty over journalism, he's ran in more... He may not have high numbers, but he's ran against more horses. Okay?
Right.
All right, so... But interesting that he is not in any of those speed figures. Being a mid-closer, I love that he's a mid-closer. He will not be deep in the back. He will be up the front. Okay. He will be in my money. I will be betting on Sovereignty. Number 19, Chunk of Gold. Very lightly raced horse. Don't think he can win, but he could get in exotics. He has been all along my one long shot. Even though now American Promise and Cold Battle are in there, I think Grande will be in there too, but he may get bet down a little bit. But Chunk of Gold is a horse. He's had 2 seconds against great horses. And I just think you got to love. He's second to journalism, or not journalism. He was second to a couple of these good horses. I'm just telling you that Chunk of Gold, the distance could be an issue, but he is a mid closer, and something to think about on throwing him maybe in your exotics. Okay, number 20, the other question mark, weird, crazy horse is Owen Almighty. This one is, I don't know where to go with this one. This horse is like Tiztastic. He has won some great races. He's lost some clunkers. He was going to run in the Pat Day Mile. They wanted him to. The trainer said he's going to run in it. Then they said, no, he's not. Then he came back. Now he's back in. His trainer is Lynch. I don't know much about Brian Lynch, but I know that he's a confused guy right now. This horse has won the Tampa Bay Derby out of nowhere from the front. He is a rabbit. He will be taking off from the 20 hole. When Lord Almighty leaves the 20 hole, he is coming straight left, baby.
Yeah.
Straight left, and he's going to come right into East Avenue, and East Avenue and him are going to run right into Neoquos and Rodriguez and Citizen Bull and Admire Daytona. They're all going to be taking off. And all these other horses that I've mentioned besides Cobalt are all going to be sitting in the back. So Old Almighty's going to be able to take off over there.
Right.
Because all these horses are closers and mid-closers from like 13 and on. Okay?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Old Almighty is a pace setter. Okay, him and East Avenue are what you call a pace setter. They're called the rabbit. They want to go wire to wire and run and have a heart attack doing it.
Right.
Okay. He's a sprinter, really, is what this horse is. He's won at Churchill. I mean, dude, I'm putting money on Old Almighty. I already have plus 2,500, and I bet 10 on him on my betting sheet. Like, you have to. I mean, something crazy could happen. He could get all the way over and just take off. I mean, he's. I'm not saying the Tampa Bay Derby was a crazy prep, but then he gets seventh in the Bluegrass.
Right.
So he's teetering down, not up, but he's just this crazy question mark. You don't know what to do with it. And he's won at Churchill. And you're like, okay. Big Brown's won from the 20-0. There's horses that have won from the 20 and the 21-0. Rich Strike, 21-0. So Old Almighty is wild. Who knows whatever. He can come in dead last or come in fourth. You know what I mean?
So
okay, and then the last one is Beza, and he's not in yet. But folks, if Beza gets in, he's got all the speed figures. He's lightly raced. He's green. He's coming up strong. He will be a horse to deal with in the other two ends of the Triple Crown. The Preakness seems like a great race for him. If he doesn't make it here, but Beza, if he gets in, all hell's going to break loose back there on the backside. Trust me. Just so you know, he is a mid or where do I got him at? Beza is a stalker. So he will be up towards the front no matter what hole he comes out of. And who knows, when we get off this phone, I've seen it happens all the time. Somebody scratches on Oaks Day.
Yep.
Okay. They hang on long enough and finally they're like, forget it. We got no shot. Let's let someone in that does. And Beza has a shot. He can win this Derby. Okay. John Sheriffs is his trainer. And I guess that's it. That's all the horses. If you want to know the Oaks, I'm just going to tell you who I have, and then I'm going to tell you who I'm picking for the Derby, okay?
Yes. Give us a couple of Oaks horses, and then I have a couple of specific questions before you get to your Derby pick.
Okay. Great horses in the Oaks, Ballerina D'Oro, La Cara, Simply Joking. Quiet Side is ran seven times and she is 3-3-1. Okay, that's three firsts, three seconds, and one. So always in the money. That will probably be the second choice, but low odds. Good Cheer is 6-0, has not lost yet. She has not lost. She will be the favorite, in my opinion. Good Cheer, I'm putting in with everything. quiet side. I'm putting in with everything. I'm betting both those horses. And Tenma, Baffert's horse, the stalker, you're going to get way better value, I think, with Tenma. Six races, five first and one third. But I think you will get value with Tenma because the other horses are so have even better records.
Right.
Simply Joking is another favorite. I love Whit Beckman, but I'm throwing him out just because I haven't seen a horse that Whit's had the Oaks before. Good luck to him, but that's the way I'm getting rid of a horse. So 5G is my long shot. Always in the money. I'm not quite sure if he is a long shot, but he is a pace setter. He will be taking off from the beginning and try to win it all the way around. And then my little sneaky pick that I want everyone to know about is a horse by Graham Motion, who is a turf specialist trainer, Animal Kingdom. He won with Animal Kingdom and ran on the turf like four times and then went to the Derby and ran a couple races on synthetic and then wins the freaking Kentucky Derby. Graham Notion is a great trainer. If he enters a horse, they're going to do well. Okay? He doesn't enter horses all the time. It's just things that I notice. But his horse, Fondly, is 2-0. Okay? He's greener than green. And I'm going to put that horse in there somewhere and just, you know, see what happens because I know what he's done in the past. Some of these horses that have ran on turf love the Churchill surface. That's why Final Gambit and some of them others are Flying Mohawk are question marks. You don't know what to do with them. They may love it. I know Animal Kingdom did. So those are my guys. I'm going Tenma and Fondly and 5G in a try. And then I'm going to put those three with Quiet Side and Good Cheer as my winners and put those with it and box all those horses. So that's the 9, the 3, the 9, the 14, the 8. Put those all together. That's my super, the 3, 9, 8, 14. And then I'm going to throw Good Cheer, the 11. I got to throw Good Cheer, so I may pick the 11 and then wheel not the 3, 8, 9, 14 with him.
Okay.
So
and I will,
let's see what happens.
I will put all these picks out on our Twitter, at Blockout Pod on Twitter. I will put these picks out before the Oaks. And so I was going to ask you, same thing, Derby, give me your... I know you and I both and most people will be making 1,000 different bets, and we can't cover them all here. But your, say, your top two bets, whether it be a try, a super, whatever you give the people your top two bets, obviously subject to change. Now, let's caveat this by saying, if Beza makes the race, it sounds like you would be throwing him into most exotics.
If Beza makes it, I'll be putting him in with everything.
But provided that he doesn't, just with the information we have now.
One thing I like to do is I'm not one of them guys that does all these exotics and crazy things. I will do a few, but I'm a simple Lonnie Briley kind of better. I like to bet my horses. If I like them, I'm going to single them up. I bet them. I'll bet like 20 to win, 20 to place if I love a horse. Or 10 to win, 10 to place, best based on the odds. I never bet third. It's a waste of your money. Take the rest of that third place and put it in to win or come in second. If your horse comes in third, good for you. Third place money sucks. Put that on Freddie's grave. Third place money sucks. All right, add that money and put it, instead of going three across the board for $9 or whatever, go 6 to win, 6 to place, or 5 to win, 5 to place, and get more money and hope your horse go with what you think your horse is going to do.
Right.
And so I will have a lot of bets like that, but I will definitely, the two horses, the horses that I've been on all along, I'm going to go with, let's see, where's, nine down, let's see. Hold on, I'm writing their numbers down just so.
Yeah, I have, give us numbers. Give us numbers.
Right. Okay. So, counting Basil not in there. Okay. Counting Basil not in there. I'm going up top. My top three horses are the 4, 8, 18. That is Journalism, Rodriguez, and Sovereignty. Okay, then underneath, I'm going 5, 5, 9, 10, 16. That is Burnham Square, Cole Battle, Grande, American Promise, and add this one, the 14, Tiztastic. So the 4, 8, 18 up top, the 5, 9, 16, 10, 14 at the bottom. That means the top three have low odds. The other five have great odds, and I'm going to mix them all in there.
Okay.
Okay. Will I maybe bet Sandman or Final Gambit in there a little bit? Maybe a little bit on Owen Almighty or something like that. Yes. But for the most part, my top three are Journalism, Rodriguez, Sovereignty. And then underneath them, I'm going Burnham Square, Tiztastic. Cole Battle has to be their American Promise, and Tiztastic.
Awesome.
Maybe Chunk of Gold. Maybe Chunk of Gold, too. But, yeah, there you have it.
All right. Awesome breakdown. That gives you a little bit of information about every single horse in the Kentucky Derby, and then Freddie's picks. Again, as I said, I will put those picks out.
Don't forget, Freddie had I've had up there, and I'm not claiming I win. I have little Jay and buddies, JT and all that win way more money than I do. But I am Tommy, but Travis, to name a few. But I will definitely, I have hit big. I won $1,000 on Mage because of my backup plan in case somebody scratches or whatever. I've won, I had 1,000 words, Pafford's number one horse to win the Derby. Someone runs out at the party and says, 1,000 words just hit his ankle in the paddock before they go out for my old Kentucky home. He just got scratched. I bet everything on him in every way. What do? I look at the book, go to the next one in line, and it's authentic. I put 100 on him to win. That's all the time I had. And guess what? He wins. Bam. Huge paycheck.
Okay. Beige. Do you have anything else to add, Fred? Before I wrap this up.
And Mystic Dan, don't forget I put 50 on him last year because I saw something during Derby week that popped out on a number that I saw, and bam, got a good chunk of change on him. So let's do this.
You sure you're done?
I am done.
I'm going to turn his microphone off now. You have his picks. They will be on Twitter. Here, I'll definitely have the Oaks picks on there by tonight, so you can use those accordingly. And his picks. And pending anything that changes, we will update those on Twitter as well. We will be back here next week with a regular episode. We'll recap the Derby. We'll go back and talk about some more NBA stuff. We've got to talk about the NFL playoffs. Next week should be a rip-roaring good show, and I hope that we all use Freddie's insight and picks to win a lot of money. So happy happy Derby Week, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week for the Kentucky Derby Psycho Guru, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.